good plan and some good sin. Amen. Amen. Then we had little Hannah also. Y'all make a pretty good team tonight. God bless you. Appreciate everything y'all did. And we're believing our brother Tony will be back to 100%. How many's ready for him to be 100%?
Amen.
Amen. The devil thinks he's getting one on, but all he's doing, he's just storing up grain. Kind of like Samson, except minus cutting the hair, you know. But he's fixing to kill more Philistines than he did before, you know. So we're thankful for it, brother. We ain't going to give that devil any credit whatsoever. Only reason he's going through is for a purpose. So my tablet's being silly. Let me fix this real quick. There we go. My case kept popping off, and I kept pushing my power button. So about time for a new one, I think. I tell you what, good to be in the house of the Lord. We sure missed you guys over the weekend. We had a good time in Amarillo. Send you many greetings from them over there. Want to speak to you on a little thought tonight. Behold the beauty. Behold the beauty. And let's go to Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. Who knows this was the rapture message?
Amen.
It sure was. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an house would encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Amen. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. We ask you, Lord, to bless the preaching of your word, Lord. Lord, may each person be able to receive something tonight, Lord, as a coal of fire in their belly, Lord, in their bosom, Lord, that they can meditate on the coming days. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. There is victory in beholding the beauty of the Lord. And there is nothing like beholding a beautiful picture or an image when it catches your attention. And I'm a fan of oil paintings. And I remember several years ago, my wife and my mother-in-law, the children, of course, we all took a trip to Oklahoma City to the Cowboys Museum. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating, seeing all the different oil paintings and different things. And I love oil paintings. Mm-hmm. And they have a way of capturing an audience and illuminating what the author wants them to see in a painting. And, you know, we may look at something on a painting that may not be the highlight of what the author wanted. There, in every painting, there's something in there. There's a message inside that painting that author is trying to express. And right. The best way he knows how to do it is through a painting. Right. And there are certain characteristics that the author wants you to behold. And if the audience does not catch the view of what the artist is trying to highlight out of that artist or out of that masterpiece, they will not be able to appreciate it to the full capacity. Right. So the artist has there's a specific view, there's a specific vantage point of the picture, of the sculpture that he wants you to see. You've got to see it from that view to get the 100% capacity. And I believe that's the way it is with the image of Christ. And Brother Branham talked about the sculpture of Christ and how this man looked at it. He said, well, I don't see anything to that. That's nothing to me. And they said, well, come here. You're looking at it wrong. And he went down below the sculpture and looked up, knelt down and looked up, and he saw the sculpture, and then he cried. Yeah. And what it was, he changed his vantage point. He changed his view on the way he was seeing that. Right. And sometimes the Lord has to get us, and man in general, and us in particular, has to get us in the right frame of mind. That way we can receive the view of the picture in the right way. How many times you look at a scripture a million times, you don't see this exact thing, but one day you'll look at it, and right then you'll see it, and you can never see it any other way. It's a revelation to you. And that's what I'm talking about, is there's a different view, it's a different mindset. There are different people right now that we're talking to, there are different people that have different mindsets, and so you will receive the word in a different depth than somebody else. But even though you've got your channel of your heart, you're wanting to seek the Lord, you're trying to see the Lord, you've got different mindsets. And a different mindset will affect the way you can receive the word. Do you believe that's right? That's why Brother Tony many times, and myself, will try to encourage you, especially like the night before service, Get your mind on the Lord. Be focusing on things of the Lord. Don't stay up too late at night. You know, there's a reason for that, because that affects your mindset. You know, that's why Brother Brennan talked about coming to service 30 minutes early. Because you're getting your mindset right. You're not thinking on a bunch of different things. You're in one accord. And then when the minister steps at the pulpit, he can step right into the service. So mindset is so important. Well, how we keep our mindset. And we're going to be going further in to behold the beauty of the Lord. So the mindset that we have while we are beholding the beauty of the Lord, the mindset will have an effect on that. We want our mindset. If you have a mindset of where you feel beat down, you feel condemned, you feel like there's sin in your life, that's going to affect your mindset. That's going to affect the way you look at it. If you feel, if you're going through pain, if you're going through a lot of body aches, going through that, that will affect your mindset. So we want to have a positive mindset whenever we go there, with a clear conscience before God, whenever we begin to behold the beauty of the Lord. Amen. So some will be under a great pressure. Some people will be under financial stress. Some people will be entering retirement. Some people will be on mountaintops. Some people will be in a valley. But we're all talking about, in all these scopes, of beholding the beauty of the Lord. In all these things, it doesn't make you a bad person because you're going through a lot of stuff in your mindset. Amen. How many knows you're not a bad person? Amen. But like Brother Miller said one time, how many of you is a human? You know, there's nobody cannot raise your hand of that, you know. But your mindset, so I want to express that, it does not make you a bad person, because you've got to think, that's just saying, that's the life we're in. That's the battleground we're in, okay? In the midst of all this, while some's on mountaintops, some's on valleys, Christ wants to manifest himself through his beauty, through his word, and he does that through the preaching of the word. And so through all of our trials, all of our turmoil, all of the battleground that we're on, in the midst of all that, Christ is revealing himself to them that have been chosen from the foundation of the world. Amen. Ain't that awesome? God chose us to reveal himself to us. He chose us. And when it comes to artwork, it all begins at a spark of inspiration. So whether it be a music, a story, a painting, it is inspired. Something happened. It was inspiration that caused that to happen. When our brother Tim Lane, if he ever writes another song, and Lord willing he will, when he does that, it will be an inspiration that will spark his heart. And that inspiration is really quickly, and he could probably write a song in 15 minutes or less. You know, the way the Lord can do it. I assume that's what it is. That's what it is with the message for me.
Right.
You know, and Brother Tony said the same. Brother Brennan talked about how that when that inspiration would come, he'd be like, 2 times 2 is 4. 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 It's that anointing that comes down. It's an inspiration that comes over you.
Right.
And there is a lot to be said about a person that walks with inspiration in their heart. When you walk with inspiration in your heart, you will inadvertently, you will inspire the people around you.
Right.
How do you do that? How do you stay so bubbly? It's the inspiration of the faith of the Holy Ghost inside your heart. The faith of this revelation in your word, and it makes you walk with inspiration. You know, if someone can walk with inspiration on just about anything, and they can bring you positive for a little while. You let someone get $1 million, they'll walk with inspiration. You'll feel inspired by them for a little while, but it passes away. You know, a new car. They get a new car. They'll walk with inspiration for a little while, but it fades away. And they'll go back to the same old thing. But brother, sister, we're talking about something that can inspire you, and it just keeps refilling and refilling and refilling and refilling. It's the rock of ages. It's when this is our inspiration, because this will not pass away. Right. Amen? The word will not pass away. So that's why we want this to be our inspiration. Writers that started their roots, and many of the writers have started their roots of being a farmer. You know, out tossing hay and things like that. But something happened. Eventually, at some point, they received an inspiration. They saw something inside them, and it compelled them to want to write. It compelled them to want to do something. It brought a pressure on the inside of them. It put something inside of them to where they had to do it. It was something on the inside of them. And I'm talking about the inspiration. So a painting, a sculpture, and all these things, it come from an author or an artist that received inspiration. And when he brought that inspiration, he had to manifest it. And that's the way God was. Whenever you receive the excitement from what you're seeing, you're actually receiving the inspiration that they received to put it in the first place.
Right.
So whenever you see a mountain and it excites you, you are actually receiving the inspiration that God had when he said, I desire a mountain. But when God said, I desire an ocean, and God had a desire to put in his heart, he said, I want an ocean. He created an ocean. And when you see the ocean and you catch the beauty from that, and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this. You're actually receiving the same inspiration that God had when he spoke it in the first place. And I believe that's the same way with the revelation of Jesus Christ. When the word is given to us, a word with a thought in God's mind, and God spoke that word, it was an inspiration. God had an inspiration and he spoke the word. And when he spoke the word and you receive the word and you see the word and you're excited about the word, you are receiving the same inspiration that God had when he thought it in the first place. Ain't that awesome? That means God, when we were, Brother Brennan talked about stimulation of revelation. That's what it is. It's when you see the word, you're like, oh my gosh, I see that. That makes sense. What is it? It stimulates you. And it causes you to walk a little different. And you inspire the people around you. How many of you want to inspire people around you? Amen. That's why we do it, by the word. While we're seeing the word, like saying cars, money, all that stuff, that stuff fades away. But this word don't. Everybody told me a long time ago, well, Daniel, that'll fade. After all, it's been 20 years. I praise the Lord, never let it fade. Help me to just keep more, I want to be more bubbly all the way to the other side. Amen. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just float away. Nature is an artwork from the great master artist. And that's why I love nature. God had an inspiration on the inside of him that he had thoughts, and he made those thoughts into words for us. God had all the thought. He had the thoughts all the time, but we never knew them until he began to speak them into a language that we can understand. I'm going to stop here for just a second. What I mean by that, speak them in a way, in a language that you can understand. I'm not talking about changing it to French or German or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's whenever a word can be given to you and you don't quite catch it. You can't catch it. Your mindset's not right. Your feeling's not right. Whatever it may be, when the word's given to you, you just can't see it. But eventually, God will put it in a language that you can understand. God will put you, he'll cause somebody to stub your toe. He'll cause the dog to do this. He'll cause your work to do this. He'll cause your manager to do this. He'll cause your spouse to do this. He'll cause your kids to do this. He'll cause whatever it does to shift, to shake, whatever he's got to do to get your mindset right to where he can put it in a language that you can understand. Okay. And then you're like, my goodness, why couldn't I see that before? Because your mindset. Our mindset. God knows how to get our mindset where it needs to be. And sometimes it takes trial to get us in the right, proper mindset that we can humble ourselves. Amen? Amen. We understand that it was through the fall of Adam and Eve when God gave the great catalyst for redemption. Because if it wasn't for this fall that took place with Adam and Eve, then God couldn't manifest himself. And may I say this, that God still, in that same way, he will, if we don't know failure, now, I'm talking about after you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There will be times when you will see failure with your eyes.
Right.
And you have to have those times, because if you don't have those times, when you have those times, you're saying, God, I need your help. And God can pick you up afresh, dust you off, put your mind up, and say, look, you are still mine. Amen. Mm-hmm. There will be times when you will feel like you failed. Mm-hmm. That's right. But even after the baptism, look, what is it for? It's so God can pick you up and reassure you, I am still with you. And maybe you ever had a day where you just absolutely feel like you failed the day before, and the next morning that presence of the Lord is just as real as it was the day before. Amen. That's right. What is it? It's God reassuring you. It's who you are. Who you are is the most important, brother, sister. We are the child of God. And we're going to dig into that in just a moment. Who you are is not because who you are is not when you don't make because you don't make mistakes. Who you are is not because you don't get sick. Who you are is not because you've got money. Because all that stuff can go away. Who you are is something deeper. It's somebody on the inside of you. It's the real you that responds to this word. That's the real you. That's the seed inside you. That's the real you. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, God had an inspiration in his heart for Abram here. God had an inspiration, and he desired to have a man that would walk by faith even when it seemed impossible. And there was nothing but a blank canvas for Abram's side, from his vantage point of seeing this beauty that we're talking about. All he saw was a blank canvas. All Abraham had ever known is false gods and all these different things. But all he had was a blank canvas, and God said, "Abraham, follow me. I'm gonna bless thee. I'm gonna bless thy seed. I'm gonna bless them that bless thee. Curse them that curse thee." It was a blank canvas. He didn't know what was going to take place, and all he had to do is what it was. God took his brush, and he began to strike across the canvas page of Abraham. And Abraham's journey, to him, that was the beginning of the story. But from God's vantage point, he already saw the end. You know, whenever I used to draw quite a bit, I would know what my picture wanted to look like, but I had to start somewhere. And that's the way it is with God. God knew the end from the beginning for Abraham. He already knew all these things, but he said, "Abraham, start walking with me. Start following me. Start walking by faith." And in Abraham's mindset, all he knew was the false gods, and God just talked to me. That's all he knew. But if you could zoom out and see the full picture, you would see the whole plan of Abraham. That Abraham was going to be a man of the father of faith. Abraham was going to be the man that it seemed impossible for him to have a child. 75 years old, you're going to have a son. 75, it looked impossible. But in the full canvas of God, he saw the end from the beginning. He saw them, not just the canvas. And we have to remember that in our lives, and especially in our hard times, that this is just a small portion of the canvas. If this was my canvas, this is just a small portion of the canvas. God's got the whole thing.
Right.
But a lot of times we can focus on just what's going on right now in my life, and it can seem pretty dark. But you know what? If you could zoom out and you realize this problem ain't nothing that I'm going through. My God is God. My God is a God that has done way, but he's defeated way bigger devils than what I'm fighting right now.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. But the devil will try to get you to focus on that one little thing. So the Lord had did this calling on him. God had the inspiration in his heart to write the pages of Abraham and put him here. It was God that called him. It was God that inspired him. It was God that did these things. But this is a beauty, and we're talking about beholding the beauty. We want to see this in the mindset that God looks it at. Amen. Not the way we look at it. Because there's some time. How many God called you? God called me to come to church. Now, I don't go to church just because my parents made me to. I don't go there because God called me.
Right.
You know, when you get up to go to work and you wake up in the morning and that spirit moves on your heart, who is it? That's God. That's God calling you to walk by faith. Amen. That's right. The Lord was doing this painting on him. This was the Lord painting, and he chose to use man to do the painting. And even during the times when Abraham felt discouraged, he took God's permissive will for Hagar, the Lord was still in control of the canvas. And that's something I want to point here. Even when it looked like he absolutely blew it, God was still in control of the canvas. In our life, there will be times and moments in your life when you will feel like, "I have blew it. I messed it all up." God is still in control of the canvas. God started the painting, and he's going to be the one that finishes the painting. And there ain't, you know, there's things inside the painting. How many knows the things inside the painting can't change anything? Mm-hmm. Bob Ross paints the happy trees, and, you know, he said, "Be friends with the trees." You know, he talks to them. That's the most soothing video that I remember watching as a child. Happy trees. He would paint these paintings, and you know, he would paint the bar, he'd paint all these different things inside this painting. How many knows the things inside that painting can't change anything? They are what they are, because the artist is the one that's putting it on the page. So remember, that's exactly how powerless the devil is. He can do nothing unless God allows it. God is the master hand of this canvas. God's the one in control of this thing. And the devil thinks he done something. He ain't done nothing. He put a blob across this painting that was absolutely looking beautiful, and you think it's ruined. My life is ruined. I'm affected the rest of my life. I blew it. But the all of a sudden you say, God, take other colors, begin to put in there, and he'll begin to call us the log cabin and different things like that. And he'll make what looked like an absolute disaster in your life to be something marvelous. Amen. Amen. What am I saying? Don't give the devil any credit whatsoever. Amen. Because he can't do anything. Well, I read this quote when we was in Amarillo. A spirit is powerless unless he has someone to work through. We feel a spirit that's different than this world trauma. Resist that devil steadfast and he'll flee from you.
Right.
Amen. Because he's powerless. But it's the same thing, brother and sister, the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We have to allow the Holy Ghost to work in our lives. Because whenever you allow him, he's powerless until you allow him. Because he's not going to overrun you. He's not going to be, he is not going to, I'm going to say, forgive me for the word, he's not going to force himself on you. Mm-hmm. We have to allow it. And I'm talking about beholding the beauty of the Lord. We're fixing to go into this. About the revelation of Jesus Christ. To receive the revelation, it's because he will approach you as a gentleman. But we have to receive it that way. Amen?
Amen.
Abraham could have made it. He could not have made enough mistakes for God to take him off that canvas. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in the times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is in his rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We were in God's, already in God's canvas of his thinking, of his mind. And in the midst of all the chaos, God, at the appropriate time, swoke us onto this canvas stage. Just as sure as he did Abraham. And the thing I want to point out is it says he raised them into heavenly places. He raised us. And what is it to be in heavenly places? It's to be in the revelation of this word.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that's where our victory will be. That's where our peace will be whenever we are in the revelation of this word. You know, there's a reason we have a message. It's not just so we go to church. It's something that can catch us up. It can pull us up out of this, out of the chaos of this world. We can walk in revelation in our mind. Where everybody else is caught up in the stress of this world, chasing after the world, doing all these things, we can be with them. But even though we're with them, we're not with them because we're in heavenly places. Our mind is in the word. Amen. It's where we're walking in heavenly places. And I'll read a quote here where Brother Brennan says, now remember this, Christ is the true church. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and what she can, that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army if they get a true revelation of the true spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand that Antichrist spirit. Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation. But we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over him. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is by revelation, because the more we see of the word of who Jesus Christ is, it exposes the devil. And the more we see who he is, it helps us see more who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And brothers, as I said, one of the greatest things we have is to know and see who we are.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. God has foreordained victories that we will walk in already. And St. John 15, 16, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." But in the previous in the scripture, in St. John 15, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The branch can't bear fruit of itself, but it must abide in the vine." And we're familiar with that scriptures. But what is it to truly abide in the vine? And this is a major point. What is it? What does it mean for us to abide in the vine? You see a branch that's abiding in the vine. What would it mean? How would we apply this scripture to our life? Because if we just apply just the Bible and we just go to church and we just try to obey that the best we can, we're the same as a denominational church. Because the difference is God sent an angel in this hour. God sent a word in this hour, and that word brought an anointing. It brought a word. It brought all the discrepancies down the ages. Brought all the truths in this hour. It's whenever we are abiding in that word. It's whenever we are abiding in the revelation of the tapes. The prophet said, "Stay with those tapes." You know, when you listen to the tapes, there's an anointing that's on those tapes. And it stirs something on the inside of you. Listen to me. It's so important that we listen to the tapes. Because if you don't, you're going to be just like everybody else. That's what makes us different, is God sent a message. God sent an anointing. And whenever we're hearing that voice and we're abiding in that voice, in the word of our hour, then ask what you will and it'll be done. But that's what we got to do. You can't plug into Noah's day. You can't plug into Moses' day. You got to plug into our day. Our message. What is our message of this hour? And then walk in that. Amen? Amen. So please, listen to the tapes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. I believe in an absolute fivefold ministry, 100%. But brothers and sisters, when we're at home, listen to the tapes.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, it will strengthen you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Amen, it will. The seven lampstands were all dipped into the same oil, and man cannot come with a new cart, so to speak, and say, "This is the way I'm going to do it." No, God's got a provided way of victory. He said, "He sent the messages to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church, all the way down." God brought a way of victory, and we must remember that there is a way of victory. There is a way to overcome today, and that's receiving the message of the angel this hour. I'm not just saying that we are, but to receive it and abide in that message, and we will have the fruits of this message. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Seeds don't look anything like what they're supposed to be until it's quickened. But when a seed is quickened, it will begin to have a power on the inside, and it will begin to transform into what that seed is. And Scripture says, "Every seed will bring forth of its kind." Whenever we have this word, it will produce what it's supposed to produce, but we have to be in the right light in order for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. If we could get by with just denominational light, so to speak, the denominational living, so to speak, then why in the world would God send a prophet?
Right.
There is a reason that God sent a prophet, because it is a light. It's a brighter light. And that brighter light has a way to penetrate the seed, whereas a Baptist teaching couldn't, a Methodist teaching couldn't, just Pentecostal teaching couldn't do it. It's a message. It's a message of the hour, and that anointing can call out that seed. It quickens that seed, and that's what we'll have faith for rapture one day. Amen?
Right.
Every apple that is on an apple tree, it was in that first seed. The potential of every apple that ever produced, it was in that first seed that was put in the ground. But the difference is, you got to put the seed in the right atmosphere. You got to put the seed in the right place. You got to have it, and whenever you do that, then the branch has got to abide in that vine, and every apple that will ever be produced will take place. And listen to me, every miracle that you will ever happen in your life, every miracle, every amount of faith is already inside you, the potential inside you.
That's right.
That's right. The ability to heal, be healed, is already inside you.
Amen, right.
The ability to walk on water is inside you. That's right.
Yeah.
If I need to walk on water, I can walk on water. Because he did it for Peter.
Right.
If he did it for Peter, he has to do it for me if I come with the right faith.
Amen.
That's right. If I need to run through that wall, there'll be a door there when I get there. Well, thank the Lord, he ain't told me to run. But not to be funny, I'm telling you, if God requires it out of us, he will make it happen for us.
Right.
We have to have that kind of confidence that my rapture, my body change, I will bear the body change. I will, just as sure as a tree bears an apple, I'm going to bear the body change.
Right.
Because it's going to be a deep call to the deep. I'm abiding in the vine. And what does it mean to abide in the vine? It's not just reading your Bible and just going to church. It is, well, you're abiding in the message of the angel.
Right.
The angel's been given to the church. It was given to you to overcome. Because if you look at that in the seventh church, it didn't say to him that overcome. Just read your Bible and go to church. That's not what he said. Now, I'm not saying you add to the Bible. That's God's provided way. God sent seven angels. God sent the messenger. God had the program. He had the seven candlesticks. He sent the seven stars. It's God's program, not our program.
Right.
We have to go with God's program and doing that and realizing, if I want more victory, I want to apply the battle tactics that God gave me. And that is abide in this angel's message. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Where I'm abiding in it, where I'm walking in it. I'm applying it to my life. I'm telling you, I will say this again. There is power. There is victory when you play those tapes.
Amen.
You listen to it. Amen. Amen. You start doing it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and they that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And God was showing his on the canvas how he is going to orchestrate how in seven ages God was going to be calling out seed out of every age. He's orchestrating that by they that hear, they that read, they that meditate upon the word. How are you going to do it? By listening to the angel that God gave you in that hour.
Amen.
I'm going to read two quotes and we'll be done, okay? Just a few more minutes. I know he gets tired, but I wish you not. In the first age, there would be caution through the angel that you got away from your first love. And that's the way in the first church age, that's how they began to fall. And that's exactly how he'll cause you to fall now in this battle tactic right now. And look what Brother Graham says. He said, what's the matter with the tabernacle? A man ought to be able to say, when you meet a man, is your Christian experience, when was it the dearest to you? You ought to be able to say, right now. Well, my best experience was back when I first got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I come. Just say, oh, brother, you've fallen from grace. That's right. Look, has left thy first love, showing that they had done something in the beginning and has left it. Not he that beginneth, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, but one that doeth the will of my Father. Oh, let me just let that soak in just a few minutes. I was talking fast tonight anyhow, so let us let that soak just a few minutes, see? He that doeth the will of my Father, he that endureth to the end, he that endureth. If somebody say, I believe he, that guy is an old hypocrite. Well, if you think that about me, I will leave church. I won't have no more to do with it. All right, there you are. See, shows what you're made of. Brother, if it was wheat to begin with, it'll be wheat at the end. You just never stayed long enough down there. You never made the thing right. That's right. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Go back and remember when you used to have the experience where you wouldn't talk about nobody. Anything went wrong in the church, you didn't sit on your neighbor's steps over there and talk about the church and talk about everyone else. Fly loose and go join another church. No, you stayed right there patiently and prayed it out, and God brought it on through, see?
Yeah.
Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. You know what repent means, don't you? And do thy first works. Go back and get your first experience. Do the things you did in the beginning. Go up to the altar. Make it right with God. In other words, that's right. And that's from the seven church ages. At one time, you would listen to the word and you wouldn't dare listen to somebody talk about their neighbor or their brother or the church. But somewhere down the line, that old devil, he'll weaken you down to eventually not only do you'll begin to listen to what somebody says about another church or somebody else. And eventually he'll let you down to where not only are you listening, but you're partaking of it. And next thing you know, you're the one saying it. And it's a spirit all the time. It's a spirit that will come against a church. And it will try to cause a church to divide. It'll try to divide you from your first love with the Lord. How does he do it? Because it's a negative spirit. It's a dividing spirit. Remember, Brother Graham said, if you talk bad about your brother, it's like stabbing him in the back. You're killing his influence. We should never allow that thing to ever come on us. It should be a Holy Spirit inside of us. And when we see that thing try to rise up, let's condemn that spirit. Stand up against that spirit.
Amen.
Change that conversation. Amen. That's right. Because it will affect. And then he says, what did you do in the beginning that gave you that revival? What did you do in the beginning that kept that fire, that first love? There's something about a first love. You know, my wife, we've been very blessed, have a very good marriage. And I pray the Lord will keep it that way. See, Brother Tony, I see my brother, he's my brother too, my son, Elijah and Rachel. That love, that look, the way they sit, I pray they'll keep that all the days of their marriage.
Right.
But it's that same love and affection. We want that for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Because the devil will try to come against your love for the Lord.
Right.
That's right. You will not try to be a bad person. You will not try to be rebellious against the Lord. It's things that start coming in. And one more quote here. He says, if God had that against the church, he's got it against this one. Talking about the beginning church in Ephesus. If God had it against that one, he's got it against this one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If God had that against this church, he's got it against that one too. Because you left your first love. I've got it against you. I have something against you. That's my complaint. You once had a great time, but you began to let the world begin to creep in, and you got to acting a little formal. You're still holding my name. You're still doing the great things, that's right, and you got a lot of patience and so forth, and you labor. You're like a mule. You just labor and work. My. See, you've left grace and faith and power to swap it for labor and works. Well, I tell you, Brother Branham, I help every widow woman I can. Well, that's a good thing. I commend you for that. But where's that first love you once had?
Right.
Where's that joy you used to have? As David once cried, "O Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." Where is them all night prayer meetings? The tears on your cheeks. My goodness, the Bible's even dusty and got cobwebs on it. You read old love stories, news and things that you ought to even be allowed to be published and put out for a trash can. And we Pentecostal people pick them up and just loathe over them like a bunch of flies on a garbage can. That's right. Oh, mercy. What we need is back to our first love, back to Pentecost. I better get away from here, all right, but you understand leaving that first love.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Our love, our first love. Will, as I've said this, and people have said it, and I've said it also, if you don't show your affection to your children or your wife, the devil will try to come in with that affection. And that's the way he'll do with us. Our affection for the Lord, in the same way, if we don't apply our affection to the Lord, because he'll reciprocate with us. If we don't apply our affection to the Lord and go to receive from the Lord, the devil will come like a slicker, and he will try to take that affection that should be for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. What I'm talking about, he'll put a call inside your heart to read your Bible, a call in your heart to listen to a tape, a call in your heart to pray.
Mm-hmm.
God will put the call and a tug in your heart, and the devil is so slick. He'll put rather be an app on your phone, or he'll put you to try to watch a show or a movie or something. He'll try to put you to read a book. And it may not be something bad, but it's something that puts in the place of where God wants to get you consecrated to him, where he can talk to you.
That's right.
That's right. There's intimacy in a marriage is so important. It's where you have that love, the husband and the wife, where they have an affection, where a love, because whenever you do that, that's where life comes from in a marriage. And brother, sister, in a church, it's the same way. There has to be that intimacy of the worship. There has to be an intimacy where you're not just going through songs. And I think Brother Jordan did a fantastic job through it. Don't think I'm trying to hit that, brother. But, you know, in our worship service, whenever we are praising the Lord, we don't want to let that just get formal where we're just, okay, we did our two songs, we did our three songs, and okay, that's it. Because that warmness, that first love, it will dwindle away and you're just going through the emotions. We don't want to do that. Because that is stepping stones to a cold, lukewarm, formal, powerless church. Because how does he do it? He will get you away from your first love. We want, and I was talking about the picture, the scope of the picture on a painting. That artist has a viewpoint that he wants you to look at. Because when you look at that viewpoint and the way he wants you to see it, you're going to receive the full blessing of the artist's work that he did. And the revelation of this word is the same way. God has got a vantage point of this word that if we will put ourselves, apply ourselves to be where we see this word in the vantage point he wants us to see, that we will receive the full blessing of it. Amen. I could have the best painting in the world and bring it up here, but if you're distracted, you ain't going to see it. You're not going to catch the vision of it. You got to have, when you're doing the vision, you can put it up here, you can hang it up high, you can make it however you want to. Put it right in front of your face. But if you're not going to pay attention to it, if your mind's distracted, you're not going to catch the revelation of it. I pray I'm making sense of what I'm trying to say. Amen. This revelation of this word, that's what we're doing in every service, is we're presenting the beauty of the Lord. Amen. We come here to behold the beauty of the Lord. Our mindset has to be right. Our approach has to be right. Our love has to be in the right way. Because you know what? Your mindset, what you're thinking about at the time when you see a painting, that will affect the way you see the painting. Right. Amen. Let me show you something. One of the paintings in Oklahoma City had this painting of a town years ago. Had the horse and buggy, had the milk crates, and had the window shops with the old dresses. And it had a couple standing here beside the wagon. If you go there, you'll see what I'm talking about. They're standing next to one another. Different people can look at that same painting, but if you take a couple that has just married, starting their life's journey, they can look at that painting and see these people are just married. They're starting their journey. These people are approaching. They are starting their life. What is it? Their mindset. Their mindset when they looked at that painting, that is the way they received it. But if you were to take somebody else that didn't care nothing about paintings, they can walk right by the exact same painting and say, I don't see a thing. And that's the way church service can be, brothers and sisters. One person can say, I don't see a thing in that service. The other person, because they're looking for it, they're like, yes. And that's the key I'm talking about. They're looking for it. And brother and sister, that's this rapture that we're looking for. We have got to be looking for it. And you can't tell me you're looking for the rapture whenever you ain't even listened to a tape and who knows how long, ain't read your Bible, you haven't prayed yet. We have to be looking. We have to contend for the faith.
Right.
Amen. We have to. What does it mean to contend? That means you're fighting for it. Yeah. Amen. Because you're not just going to stumble through it.
Right.
And I'm not going to stumble through it. It's something we've got to fight for. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Help our mindset be, whenever the word's coming, help me to have the mindset when I see the word coming to me, help me to see, God, what is it you're wanting to show me in this? Amen?
Amen.
Help me to behold this beauty. Because whenever we're applying ourselves and doing this, of applying ourselves to the word, we're taking the tapes and we're listening to the tapes, saying, what is he really trying to say here? Whenever we're applying that, God, the word says, he will place you upon a rock when the enemy comes. So how do you overcome your battles? By staying in this word.
Amen.
No matter how bad I feel, whenever you're going through a trial and it feels like you just, I'm like, I can't win. You ever feel that way?
Right.
I can't win. It's like every time I try to take a step forward, I'm falling backwards or something breaks. When I'm working on the Panama House, I'd get so disgusted. I'd want to do a simple job, just one simple job. That's it. And then I'm done. And I'll be there the whole day because everything I touch, it just keeps breaking. You just feel like you can't win. And in those midst, even in those times, if in those midst, the scripture says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the others be added to you. So in your trial, what's my answer? Seek God first.
Amen.
Give me the revelation of it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace that you put into our life. Lord, I pray that through my chopped up language, Lord, they would receive something, Lord, from you tonight, Lord, of seeing to behold the beauty, Lord, is how that we help us to have the right mindset when we focus on this word, Lord, to not just look at it as just a word, but see that this is the Holy Bible. This is the Word of God. And Lord, and see, Lord, we need your Spirit to come and open the pages to it, Lord. We need you to be able to help us see between the lines, Lord, of what you're trying to say, Lord. And Lord, so on how the enemy would try to come in and take away the joy of the salvation, Lord. Lord, take away, pull away our first love, Lord, for you. Lord, I ask you that you would help us, Lord, to alert ourselves, to shape ourselves and say, Lord, what can I do to be different, Lord, to be better for you? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. That's Brother Tony. Prepare to come forward if you'd like to. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Me too. Been serving the Lord for a little over 20 years now, and I think I love him better than I did when I first got started.
Mm-hmm.
It does, brother. God bless you.
How many can say amen?
Amen.
That's all truth.
Amen.
It doesn't like truth. Brother Daniel was talking about having the right mindset when you come to church, you know, when you do that, when you make preparations in your life, if you say, you know what, tomorrow's Sunday, I'm going to go to bed early tonight, make sure I get plenty of rest, and I'm going to do that so that I can be attentive at church tomorrow.
Yes.
When you do that, that's a form of worship.
That's right.
Anything that you can do in your life to make provisions for the program of God is a form of worship. And so you want to do that. You know, there's the word rhema word, and there's the word Logos word.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, rhema is teaching. You can teach people the Bible. I can say things, and you may walk away with the wrong idea. You may not understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's rhema. Mm-hmm. But when you have logos, logos is the word including the thought.
Yeah.
So there is no deception with the logos. Because when you get the logos, you're getting the right thoughts that goes with that word. The world has rhema.
Yeah.
But God has brought to the bride the logos.
That's right.
And the logos is the very the pillar of fire that went out from God, that created everything. That's the logos. That's what you want. And so when you come to the house of God, I've heard Brother Daniel mention this too, you know, try to not be get distracted. Try to understand and receive what the minister is saying to you, because I can promise you, if you catch in the same spirit of what that brother is trying to share with you, you'll get a lot more out of it.
Amen.
Right? And so, but these are things that you have to be attentive to. You're fighting a battle, and you have to pay attention to things that matter on the battlefield. And this is some of those things. And so you got to believe who you are. I'm going to say something here that came to mind a while ago, and I want you to listen to how stupid it is when you doubt your sonship or you're being a daughter of God, right? Because you make a mistake or something goes wrong, you know. So I'm going to say a couple of things here. I thought my son was my son until he made a mistake. Does that sound right?
No.
He can make mistakes all day long, and he's still my son.
Amen.
Right? And he could say, well, I thought he was my dad until I made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
See how stupid that is?
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, we're sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Right? It's a genetic thing.
Yes.
And because there's a genetic thing in there, that's why you desire the Word of God. That's why you love the Word. That's why you want the Word. You want to see it in your life.
Right.
And so we are so thankful to know these things, that God is, we are privileged people to be able to understand these concepts that you know, Brother Daniel was sharing tonight. He talked about allowing the Holy Ghost to move in your life. Don't just allow Him, invite Him.
Amen.
You know, you married women, you know good and well that you can create an environment that when daddy comes home, you can melt him. And you could do that as a Christian. You can provoke God in such a way, you can make him say, I can't sit up here in heaven and just watch them have service. I got to go down there and put my arms around her.
Amen.
Right? You have the ability to do that. Amen? And we know that. So love is the strongest force there is in the world. Mm-hmm. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. It covered our sins, mm-hmm. brought Jesus Christ to this earth to pay the price for us. That's what love will do. And if you really love your family, you'll live for God in front of them. You'll pray for them. You know, if you really love God, you'll put these things to the side because you love him. And that's what we need more than anything else, is a love for God. When you have a greater love for God, you'll definitely have a greater love for your fellow brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And so the Bible says that we need to come to the house of God looking to receive. But did you know the Bible says that unto them that are looking for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation?
Amen.
What about to those who aren't looking for him?
Right.
Unto those that are looking for him. So what are you looking for in your life? What are you looking for when you come to church? What are you looking for every day when you get up and you're going to work? What are you looking for?
Right?
And remember, to behold the beauty of the Lord. It's the most glorious thing you could ever behold in your life is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Because it shows what he is, who he is, and it shows who you are.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. Amen. I appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say tonight. I appreciate him being such a help for me when I get under the weather. Amen. Brother Jordan, you got a song? Okay, we'll sing Amazing Grace and then you can be dismissed as he's finished.